point does a baby get human rights?
Answering that question with specificity is above my pay grade.
Faith without works is dead. People need to carpool more. And because Americans are so overweight, it might not be too bad to walk more.
If I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want weddings.
I always like this. We're accustomed to, and Christians are very familiar with all of the characters in the New Testament. They seem to come to us more easily. The characters in the Old Testament seem a little more distant, a little more foreign to us. One of the biggest that is often not discussed is Samuel, a prophet. He's also something of a priest, and he seems to be, at least for a time, among the first of the judges of Israel, or I should say the last of the judges of Israel, making that transition to the time of the kings, if you know your Old Testament history. Well, today the church remembers Samuel. Dr. Nathan Jastrom joins us here for the first 10 minutes of the program to talk about Samuel and to help us remember this Old Testament saint, one of those giants of faith. In the second part of the program today, as we come to you live Wednesday, August the 20th, we'll talk about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Pastor Peter Krawski will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in for the second hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Nathan Jastrom is professor and chair of the Division of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He joins us to talk about Samuel. Dr. Jastrom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's nice to be with you again.
The most famous stories, arguably, about Samuel are told of him before he's born and after he's dead. How important is Samuel in the whole sweep, this story that is the Old Testament?
Samuel's a great transition figure between two major periods of Israelite history. The first several hundred years after the Israelites came, nearly 400 years after the Israelites came into Canaan, they were governed by judges, not really kings, but having much of the power of kings. And then the last years, from about 1,000 down to the 600s, late 600s, another 400 years, they were judged by kings. Kings ruled them. And Samuel comes right at that dividing line between those two. So it's a very important figure, a transitional figure, one that helps set the course of Israelite history from that point on.
He is a prophet, that's what he's called, but he also seems to be, in some way, priest to Israel, and then as the last of the judges, certainly a ruler, if not a transition to the kings, of you, as you have said. Is he in some sense kind of a faded picture of the Christ that would come, prophet, priest, and king?
Yeah, those three offices all together are something that's very unusual. Samuel's one that was like that. Moses was one that was like that. And then when Jesus arrived, he also fulfilled those prophecies that he would be prophet, priest, and king, all in one person. And I should say that since the time of Samuel, that becomes even more unusual, I mean, even more difficult to do, because the kings had to come from the line of David, and the prophets had to come from the line of Levi, David, of course, from the tribe of Judah. So the mixture, that triple mixture, is something that you really can't have naturally after the time of Samuel.
The books that bear his name in the Old Testament, 1 and 2 Samuel, are they authored by Samuel?
Well, that's a tradition that the prophet Samuel wrote most of those books. Not that he wrote everything, but that he had his writings that he wrote, and they were preserved and then added to and completed by a successor. But we don't really know the authorship. It isn't stated clearly in Scripture, so it's not a point of faith, not an article of doctrine, whether you believe that Samuel was the author or not of sections of the book.
As a prophet to Israel during this time where the judges are waning and the nation is beginning to look around at the other nations around it and say, we want a king, how would you summarize Samuel's prophetic ministry to God's people?
Well, you know, it's always a very dangerous time to be a leader when great changes are afoot. If you introduce changes that don't work out well, then everybody can turn on you and you can suffer quite a bit. And if you introduce changes that work out very well but lead people astray from their reliance on God, again, that leads the nation into trouble. So Samuel had to lead the nation from one system of government to another, and he did it, well, God did it through him in such a careful way that they were certain to get the institution of kingship, which God had in his plans, without the problems of the kingship that the other nations had experienced round about them. So their focus was kept on God, and yet they were able to transition to kings through this very careful process that God enacted through Samuel.
His mother, I believe, Hannah, is the first person we meet in Samuel's account, where she goes up to, I believe, Shiloh, a place of worship, and is praying because she is childless for a child. She makes a promise, and God hears her prayer and gives her this child, and then she gives the child to God. So why is this beginning of Samuel's life, even before he's conceived, why are we told this story about him?
Well, it's a great beginning, and even the name Samuel means God heard. So the idea that God is speaking, God is reaching down to his people, and people are listening, or Samuel's listening to that word, a great image of what a prophet is and a great image of what all the followers of God are from that point. That faithful prayer of Hannah to God, that he would give her a son and she would give that son back to God, serves as a model for many parents today as they receive their children as gifts from God, the Bible teaches. Even though we know a lot about natural biology and how children are born, yet the Bible teaches us that God is the person who gives these children to their parents through these natural means in some cases and through perhaps some miraculous means in other cases. So Hannah sets up a great image of a faithful parent who recognizes that her children are a gift from God and gives those children back to God. And I've talked with parents today who have that same attitude, and nothing pleases them more than when their children become faithful servants of God, either as pastors or deaconesses, church workers in some way, or as faithful children of God in other vocations to which God has called them in this life.
Samuel is called as a little boy in the famous story of Samuel, and mistaken identity, and finally he realizes he's hearing from God himself. And the first message he's given is of the downfall of this priestly clan that he's been serving as a young person. He seems to deal with a corrupt priesthood, and then later in Saul, a corrupt king too. And yet he has to speak truth to power, as they used to say in the 60s. What was his message?
Well, that's the dangerous message that God gives to his servants. His message doesn't include just the very happy forgiveness that God has given to his people through his son, Jesus Christ, the message of God being love, but also his message includes the law, which condemns people and can make them very angry. And Samuel has served as a great example to all faithful servants of God from that time, not to omit the one message in favor of the other, even though saying the evil message can be quite dangerous. In Samuel's case, he had to give the bad news to his priest mentor, Eli, and risk his displeasure. And later, even more dangerously, he had to give that negative message to King Saul, and he was in real danger of losing his life. I think of a story I just heard the other day about a pastor who was fired from his congregation because he preached that homosexuality was a sin and offended a homosexual couple in the church, and apparently he was simply fired. And so we still have that same type of payment that sometimes comes, that same similar type of danger, loss of life or income, or in some cases even life, and usually in other countries. But faithful pastors will speak the entire word of God regardless of the consequences for themselves.
Just when King Saul thinks he's rid of Samuel and has this burr under his saddle taken away in death, he inadvertently summons him right back up again after death. This is a strange story. With 1 minute What is Samuel's final word from beyond the grave?
That, as you say, it is a very strange story, and frankly, there are a couple of different ways of understanding that. Either God made an exception to the general rule and summoned the dead spirit of Samuel back, or it might even have been a lying, deceiving spirit that looked like Samuel. The scholarship is divided on that point. But in any case, the message that Saul heard was that Saul was going to lose his last battle with the Philistines, and that was going to be the visible sign to everybody that God had now rejected Saul because of his disobedience and had gone on to choose the new faithful king, David, who would rule from that time on.
And then we're back on track with that great promise that culminates in Jesus Christ. Dr. Nathan Jastrom is professor and chair of the Division of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for helping us remember this Old Testament saint, Samuel, today.
It's been a pleasure to talk about him again.
You see, Samuel Fitz, he's a big, important figure. I mean, he would be in the category, if we were making comparisons, of Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, for the Old Testament people of God. He's not only got two books attributed to him in the Old Testament, but the better part of another book deals almost exclusively with his comings and goings. But it's not about Samuel. It's about the one that he proclaimed. It's about the one he served, Jesus Christ, who was yet to come. When we come back, we're going to talk about the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Now, there's a mysterious figure. Maybe after our conversation with Pastor Peter Kurowski, some of the mystery will be removed. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of issues, etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, issues, etc.